Rick kind of set me up this morning because the second song was Oceans, and that was the song that 3 years ago now came on when I was in the MRI for cancer, and they put headphones on my head, and that song came on, and I knew everything was going to be fine. And the third song I chose because the title of my sermon is Trust and Obey. And originally, my hope and dream was that Richie and little Ryan would be up here singing it with us, because in Bible Study Fellowship, they teach the children to sing that song. And I knew that Miss Shirley would be thrilled to hear that. But they are out of town, so we just had to sing it on our own. But we trust and obey him. So today we're talking about the wedding of the wedding that Jesus did the first miracle in, and there's been thousands of sermons written about this miracle. It's an easy text to preach on, and so I'm going to do something probably a little bit different than you may have heard about the miracle. But let's first picture the setting. Most of us can relate to attending a wedding. Everybody's dressed up, and there's laughter, and there's music, and it's wonderful. Jesus had taken some of his disciples with him, and he was attending the wedding too. His mother was maybe related to the bride or the groom or a friend of the family's, because she was taking an active role in telling the servants what to do. So if there was a problem, it was Mary's problem too. In studying for this message, I learned a few things, some of which we know from the text. But customarily, the guests were the ones who provided the wine. And the best wine that was brought was served first, while the substandard wine was served later after everyone had had a few drinks, if you know what I mean. The large stone pots were 20 to 30 gallons, and these were filled with water because between every course in Jewish custom, they would wash their hands. Everything that they touched was considered ceremonial unclean, so therefore they washed their hands between each course. They were ready for COVID. There were six pots, and the number six is symbolic of human effort, which in this case, and in all cases, is inadequate. Jesus asked the servants to fill them to the brim, which was a lot more wine than was needed for a local wedding feast. But he did it to emphasize the abundance that he gives. And wine itself was a symbol of abundance. I've always felt a tiny bit of pushback on this story. It's a wonderful miracle, but I didn't like the way Jesus called Mary woman. In our day, this is a derogatory way to address a parent or a spouse or even a female acquaintance. It sounds demeaning. But I also learned that in the Hebrew culture, this was a title of respect. I still found it a term that was hard for me to personally swallow. And we won't be calling me woman at home. But she was Jesus' mother, and he respected her. Jesus was somewhere around 30 to 31 when this took place. Mary had not seen other miracles at this point. She was probably filled with a little bit of anxiety as she helped this friend or relative with the wedding and saw that they were running out of wine. This was a big deal at a wedding feast. But Mary had seen Jesus' incredible grasp of Scripture. Remember, when he was 12 years old and they were looking for him, they found him in the temple teaching the elders. I wonder if Mary looked at the other women who were serving and was tempted to add a few words about her son's reply. What was it that made Mary's reaction so different than ours may have been? Remember, from the very beginning with Mary and Jesus, the angel said, "The Holy One that you will bear will be called the Son of God." It was defined, it was clear from the very moment that Mary conceived that this was no ordinary baby. This was the Son of God. Remember Elizabeth's reply when Mary came to visit her, and before Mary had said a word, she said, "Why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" And even Elizabeth's unborn child, later John the Baptist, leapt in her womb at the nearby presence of the yet unborn Son of God. As we know from Scripture, Mary was a ponderer. We knew that she thought deeply when the angel told her that she would bear the Son of God. She must have thought deeply and watched, as Jesus did not fight with siblings growing up, as he was respectful and obedient to his parents all through his younger years. No child is that perfect, except the Son of God. And now Mary displayed the knowledge that Jesus was special. In verse 4, he told her that his hour had not yet come. He knew his purpose, even to the end, and he was giving Mary an inside comment to trust him. Mary never did run over to the other women, at least in the scriptural account. She never did say she was hurt by Jesus telling her to wait. She never said, "I don't know what you think you are." She simply obeyed and trusted Jesus. She knew where he came from, and she knew who he was. She quietly told the servants to do exactly what Jesus said, and then she stepped aside and she trusted. Mary was prepared by also preparing the servants to obey the Lord when he spoke again. And he did not disappoint. Spurgeon said, "My soul, be patient before the Lord and wait until you know his bidding. This is prepared obedience." He also said, "In the anxiety of many a trembling heart, the very best faith that we have seen is in not doing anything. And sometimes that is the hardest work of all." How many of us have at some time made matters worse by taking them into our own hands? I have. Have you ever made a comment, "Well, the old me would have"? But we can't only follow Jesus when it fits our agenda. We have to be prepared for his agenda too. If we pick and choose which parts we're going to follow, it's called one thing, and that's disobedience. We can't pick and choose from Jesus' commands and think it's okay for us. Mary's reply to do whatsoever he tells you is not a simple reply. It's understanding how precious are the words of Christ. It's grabbing onto them and pulling them close to our heart. Jesus' timing was perfect, and it still is. While we look at the world and say, "Come quickly, Lord," right now, he reminds us that his hour is not yet come. In verses 6 and 7, Jesus told the servant to fill the jars up to the brim. This is almost comical. He didn't say, "Fill the jars to as much wine as you need." But he rather said, "Fill the jars to the brim." As if saying, "I don't do little miracles. I will show you more blessings than you can ever imagine." We recently had an example of this at the House of Grace. Judy moved in with us about a month ago, and she is recovering from some surgery on her legs. And I thought, how is she going to get a job and walk to the bus stop? That on a walker, that's going to be difficult. But God immediately took care of the whole thing. What happened was I got a call from a woman who had been in my jail services 6 years ago. This woman, when she got out, I picked her up and took her to a halfway house, and she attended our church for a while. She ended up moving to the east side. She got married. She had a baby. She got her degree. She got a job in a rehab place. And recently, they had a big change. A lot of the executives ended up getting fired or leaving, and they had a big change in all of their employees. And she said, Pastor Robin, you'll never believe this, but I just got promoted to the director of marketing for this company. And she said, I have a problem. I have to hire a bunch of people right now. And I said, that sounds like I might be able to help you. What do you need them to do? And she said, we're writing blogs for all over the United States for people in recovery and doing publications. And we just got a government grant for the next 4 months, and we need some people to fill those needs. And I said, well, I have a person I'm going to give your phone number to. I gave her the phone number. I gave the phone number to Judy, and the next day she got on the phone with Susanna, and she said at the end of 45 minutes of talking, she not only had a job, but Susanna said, we pay $15 to $17 an hour, but because 6 years ago Pastor Robin helped me through a lot, I'm going to pay you $17. Judy hung up the phone and she said, what just happened? She said, you can work between 6 a.m. and 8 p.m. any hours you want, as long as you get 8 hours in that day. So you can work a split shift if you need to take your medication and lay down and rest your legs or whatever. You can work however you need to from home. Jesus does not do little miracles. I never thought of this part either. We don't hear about the guests knowing about the miracle. It says nothing of the crowd going wild and screaming, go Jesus, go Jesus. Only Mary and the servants and the disciples witnessed this miracle, as far as we can tell from the reading. This would help Jesus' disciples understand who Jesus was as they started their journey with him. Do whatever he asks. When you feel an urging from God to do something, do you start thinking too deeply about how you're going to do that, or do you remember that nothing is impossible for God? Are you waiting for convenience? In the Psalms, David said, I made haste and I delayed not to keep God's commandments. I delayed not. The reality is this, when God is prompting us to do something and we wait, that is called sin. And it's nothing less than a sin. Spurgeon said Mary's obedience was prepared, perfect, practical, prompt, and personal. And I would add that her obedience was perpetual. She followed Jesus and she did his will all the way to the cross. There are so many blessings in life, a true contentment that comes from obediently following God. We may not receive an immediate answer. We may not even receive a miracle, like Mary witnessed, but we receive contentment and peace. Have you ever prayed about something, not received it, but received contentment and peace in your heart, knowing that it was now in God's hands and you didn't have to worry about it anymore? Do whatever He says. That means following Him continuously when we would rather pick and choose the times that we follow Jesus. We might pick and choose based on how difficult the road is before us. I'm not talented. I'm too young. I'm too old. I'm afraid. I don't have the means to do that. And every excuse, because most of the time when God calls us to an adventure, He doesn't call us in to our comfort zone. He calls us out of our comfort zone. Yesterday, we got a call from Bill, and he said, you know how I was just dreading going to work every day and how my boss was giving me an early shift and then an overnight shift and I couldn't get any sleep and everything was going wrong? And I said, yeah. He said, well, there was a guy, a Christian man that I became friends with that used to work. Well, it used to be an assistant manager there. And he said, he's working in another Denny's. And he called me up and said, I have a job for you. We close at 10, so there is no overnight. And by the way, I'm going to pay you $2 more an hour. And that happened yesterday. Oh, and it just turns out that it's a couple miles from his home. What would the wedding banquet of your lives look like if all of us were living in perfect obedience to Jesus Christ? Would there be riots? Would there be continual fear of viruses? Would there be arguments in families and overdoses? Would there be laziness to His calling? Would there be worry about our future if all of us, everyone, was living in perfect obedience to Him? Whatsoever He asks would be our only concern, and gratefulness for the blessing of each day would be our mantra. Is that possible? Can we possibly do His perfect will when people all around us are sinning, are lazy, or obnoxious, or worried? Yes, we can. Because with God, all things are possible. It doesn't depend on us. It depends on Him. Remember Mary asking in Luke 1:3, how could she possibly bear a child when she was a virgin? Remember those members that affirmed their faith last month and we placed a yoke around their shoulders? That yoke was symbolic to daily walk in faith, yoked to Jesus Christ, in our daily routine, saying, whatsoever you ask, Lord. There's a term that pastors use called nominal Christians. It means Christians who aren't sold out for Jesus. They might attend church, but they live as if Jesus isn't there all the time. The community, the body of Christ, is not a priority. It's people who take a little vacation from their faith life. Our call is not to be nominal in any way in our Christian walk with Jesus Christ. Our call is to serve Him in every single walk of our life. Maybe our service to Him is in the grocery store or in the bank. Every walk of our life, whatsoever He says. Are you getting to know your church family, sharing your life with others? Getting to know others' needs through sharing at the men's or women's monthly meal and Bible study? We were blessed with one of our new members, Barbara, at the women's Bible study on Saturday, and it was our joy to get to know her better. In this miracle, Jesus created excellent wine served late. Our culture today says that Christianity is not as exciting as the lifestyle of you fill in the blank. We're not accustomed to waiting for anything. But Jesus has got excellent wine ready for us. And Satan feeds us lies. The reality is that following Jesus will be the most exciting life that any of us can ever have. Pastor Rick has said many times since we started following Jesus, it's been like Mr. Toad's wild ride at Disneyland. It's been that adventure. That's why that word adventure is in the mission statement, because it has been an adventure. The best part of this exciting life is we're going to remember it too. We grow into it. At first we see little coincidences, and then we may see some miraculous change. But the best part is seeing that God is the one providing peace and hope in our lives right now, even all the way to the end of our journeys. Why wait till the rest runs out and doesn't look appealing before reaching out to Jesus? If your life or your lifestyle isn't appealing, now is the time to reach out to Jesus. Spurgeon said, "The holy confidence of Christ is admirable. May we be able by faith so to work with a calm consciousness of divine help." But notice this, whenever the Lord fills any of you with a blessing, think that you hear him say, "Draw out now." He does not fill these pots that they may be kept full. If he has filled you to the brim, draw out now. For if you try to store it up, it will become useless. Selfishness will poison it all. Jesus trusted his Father and the Holy Spirit, and then he obeyed. Mary trusted Jesus, and then she obeyed. The servants trusted Mary, and then they obeyed. As a result, the disciples learned to trust and then obey. And as a result of the disciples, thousands, actually millions, including us, have learned to do the very same. Jesus has saved the very, very best for you. And as we walk in life with him, we discover a wealth of peace and blessing that could not be found in drinking the wine too early. If we trust him and obey his prompting in our lives, we see amazing transformations, as we have seen right here at Amazing Grace. And we are called to share our miracles with others. So share your story. Trust him, obey him, and see what miracles he's prepared for you. The very first creation miracle, where God created man from the dust of the ground and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, is continued in us as we grow in knowledge and understanding of Christ. He's transforming you and I into the very best that we can be. And when we get it right, it's to God be the glory. Amen.